Good afternoon. Well, thank you for coming. I know it's only been half a day, and you probably had already a great start, beautiful lunch. Thanks for coming to this session. Hopefully, I'll keep you awake. My name is Christoph Eisinger. I'm a product marketing manager in sunny Redmond, back in Seattle. And today, I'm going to be talking about Project Online, which is the new kid on the block on the Office 365 suite. Word of warning, since I've seen little hiccups early on today, it looks like we're having a little issue with the network here at the Mandalay Bay, so I'll see, hopefully, things will be good, but I do have a backup plan in the demos in case we do have network issues in this room. So let's get started. What are we going to be covering in the next 75 minutes? Basically, I want to talk a little bit about what's 365. And the reason is some of you might have seen it, some of you might have used it, but in general, when I give this presentation, it's good to set the playing field. I'll make sure everyone's got a decent understanding of what is our offer, what is our service. And then right after that, we'll dive in into probably the topic that you came to hear, which is what's Microsoft Project Portfolio Management Suite in the cloud. And so I'll give you an overview of what is Project Online, the service, what have we done. I'll show you some of the new features. But because I do have another session right after that, that I'll go a little more in depth, I'm going to save some of those demos also for a session which is at 3:45 with a colleague of mine, Pradeep, which is right around the corner. And then I added a section called FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. And when I've been talking about this topic of Project Online, on different part of the world, there's been different questions that have come up over and over. You know, how do I migrate to the cloud? What's the difference between Office 365 and Azure VM, for those of you that were at the keynote this morning? So I'll be covering some of those topics, and I'll give you some next steps, and hopefully that'll be the 75 minutes during the session. So what is why Office 365? And before I start, let me ask a couple of people in the room. How many of you are using Office 365 for your day-to-day business? Well, that's quite a bit. I'm impressed. That's good. You guys are ahead of the pack because typically in other regions, I've got a lot less. So I'll probably go over fairly quickly. But again, like you heard in the keynote, we launched in June 2011. It's almost been a year and a half. And I got two slides. We'll make it very simple. Basically, think of Office 365 like Jeff Tepper said this morning. Think of the entire suite of Office in the cloud, in the Microsoft cloud. And there was one kid that was missing as part of the party, one member of the family, and that's Project right in the middle. And why didn't Project was online when Office 365 launched? Because we were not ready yet for prime time. And actually, there's sessions that talk a little further about what did we do to be a good kid on the block in online. There's an IT Pro session tomorrow. I'm not going to go into too much detail about that. But if you want to find out how we are re-architect the product to be a good citizen, to be multi-tenant, to be able to serve thousands of customers across the globe, go to the session that my colleagues are going to be doing tomorrow, I think around 10 o'clock. So the entire productivity suite from the Office division, that's what 365 is. Typically, when I talk about 365, it looks like a lot of you are already convinced, so I'm probably going to be preaching to the choir. But a lot of people ask me, or ask us in general, Microsoft, how serious are you about online? You know, give me proof. Whether I'm an IT pro and I'm concerned, whether I'm a CIO and I don't know, should I go to the Microsoft cloud? Competitors cloud, should I stay on-prem, should I go partner hosted? Here's a couple stats about our Office 365 offering today that has been in market for 18 months. 88 countries, 32 languages. Again, with 365, we're going at the scale that you would expect from Microsoft. It's not just a point solution for one country. We're going worldwide with as many languages as we can. Fastest growing business. We haven't disclosed any number, but trust us, the number of people signing up every day across the globe, whether it's small business, enterprises is stunning. Again, highlighting a big demand in the industry for a cloud-based productivity suite. 99.9, obviously, if you're going to pay us to give you a service in return, the expectation should be pretty high, right? So that's what we do with 365, 99.9, and we go even a step further. We get an SLA guarantee, meaning if we're not meeting that service level agreement, you get a refund. Typically, what I tell folks is go look at some of the competitors. Are they doing that? I'll let you answer that question. Industry standards. That's a classic to anyone I talk to, whether it's customers, whether it's some of your partners, whether you're in Europe, whether in Australia, whether you're in the U.S., is great. You know, you, Microsoft, you're telling us how great you are, how much money you put in, you know, the $2.3 billion, that's how much we put down to build all those data centers worldwide. You know, give me proof from third parties that you're serious, that you're playing by your rule, that you're abiding by standards. And in only 18 months, we've already quite a few certifications, and I'll show you a few just to highlight, again, that it's not just us saying, yeah, we're a 99.9, we're great, et cetera, but it's also third-party validation. And 24365, again, as its name implies, if you're going to buy us to give you email, to give us presence, to give you a portal, to give you a PMO in the cloud, typically the expectation is you want the service to be always on, any time of the day, any day of the year. One more thing that I added when I built this slide, and again to highlight the point, it was covered this morning, is our chief executive officer, Steve Ballmer, last month published a letter to customers, partners, shareholders, and this is an extract from that, but basically Steve leads with Microsoft is about devices and services, and I took an extract of that letter that Steve Ballmer published. Microsoft is committed to delivering device and services that people love and business need. The point I'm making is from the top, from our board members to our CEO, to our engineers that build SharePoint, Project Exchange, or consumer products like Xbox or Azure, we're all in the cloud. So I'm just going to show you a couple of links just to illustrate what I just mentioned. And again, I'm not going to spend too much time because a lot of you already are using 365. One of the team that I like to highlight, actually, when I talk about the cloud, is Microsoft Global Foundation Services. And typically, not a lot of people have heard about that team. But basically, that's the team that owns all our cloud services, whether it's CRM Online, Xbox Live, Hotmail, Outlook, Azure, and 365. And obviously, you know, this is a company-wide effort. One of the things that's always interesting, I'm by heart an engineer, so I love technical things. You look at their blog, and they get case studies. They talk about how green are data centers, how do they do data centers at scale at a very efficient cost. So Microsoft Global Foundation Services, if you want to learn more how we're doing, how we're delivering all those cloud offerings, whether it's for the enterprises like 365 is, or whether it's consumer services like Xbox Live, Hotmail, Outlook.com. So that's a good, and by the way, they're hiring like crazy, if you're interested. The other thing I want to highlight is 365, and again, typically the first discussion with any customer, or even partners, is, you know, how serious are you? Are you going to protect my data, et cetera, et cetera? So you go to the service today, office365.com, and right there in the home page, for what is Office 365, at the very bottom is what we call the Trust and Security Center. And you scroll a bit, and obviously there's information on privacy and our data centers and our redundancy, all the technical things that you can dream of. But what I want to highlight is you go to the independently verified, and it's not showing up. I Have I been clicking and no one could see what I was showing? Pretty much. I apologize for that. It sounded good? Okay. Let me, this one, I'm sure. Which screen is that? Okay, I'll do a backup plan. Here we go. Okay, dual screens. Apologize. Someone should have raised their hand early. You're too nice. We load the three sites. Okay. Thanks. Sorry about that. Here's a global foundation service. Look it up. I was showing the blog where you get all the technicalities on how green our data centers are and how do they do it, what's the vision of data centers, and et cetera, et cetera. So that's the GFS. And then I went to 365. You go, what is Office 365? At the very bottom, Trust on Security. And then I clicked on Independently Verify. And that's where I was talking about. And here you can see, you know, there's, I'm not going to go into the details of what is the ISO 27001, the EU model clause, HIPAA, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is, it doesn't matter the region, Europe, US, if it's federal, et cetera, we already got quite a few standards. Are we going to stop there? No. It's a journey. If we need other standards to enter new verticals, new regions, and there's a high demand for it, we'll probably see that list grow over time. But this is already what we've been validated in the short 18 months since we've been in market. Okay, back to slides. See if this works now. Okay, so, good, thanks. No doubts now. So, I talk about 365 today. The topic du jour is Microsoft Project Online. So what is it? And I got a couple slides, and we'll do demo. Before I talk about Project Online, you know, I don't know how many SharePoint conference you've done, or we had a project conference last March, but we actually been working on this for a while. It's no secret that, you know, we don't just ship a product overnight. It takes some cycles. And back when we released in the 2010 days, which was the last version before that, that came out at the same time as the SharePoint 2010, which was in May 2010, I've listed some of the business challenges that we observe. A lot of people ask me, it's like, how do you guys look in the crystal ball of where you should invest? And it's actually a combination of events, talking to folks like you at the booth, at the sessions, project MVPs, there are experts, and they typically have a good insight on what's going on what are the gaps and the opportunities that we have in the product. We get key customers that we work with very early on in the cycle, where we say, typically during a technical adoption program, where we say, you know, here's how we think this features, the user interface, you know, is that fluid? Could it need some improvements? There's actually a session on that topic on Thursday from a program manager called Luke Humphrey, where he's talking about how we dog food Project Online to ship Project Online. And partners and ISVs. So the challenges we saw in the crystal ball, also talking to obviously analysts on press, is kind of four buckets. But basically what we heard over and over is our employee want to work together from virtually anywhere, right? This day and age, I'm sure every one of you has got at least one, but probably two devices, a laptop and a smartphone. Maybe some of you have a tablet, whether it's an iPad, whether it's a Surface, whether it's a Kindle Fire, whatever. And this day and age, you know, you're here traveling in Vegas at SPC, maybe there's still some fire going back in the office or some projects, you know, if you're a resource manager or just a project manager that needs your attention and you want to be able to update something or track something and still pay attention to the event. So that's the expectation. The next thing is I need the flexibility to manage without upfront infrastructure cost. And again, you know, I've heard it from large and small companies, whether it's a team that just doesn't want to wait for IT, but they got resources on project and they're going to go to the cloud today, or whether it's a company that says, hey, Microsoft, I'm in the manufacturing business of making great tools. I'm not in the business of managing servers, nor I'm in the business of managing software updates. The next challenge we heard is our company can compete only if we align investment with business priorities. And this is particularly true since the, especially in the US or even now in Europe, with the little financial meltdown where it's very important to put the money where you say you want to put your money and make sure you know, you're not wasting potentially resources and funds on something that's not critical. And more importantly, if you put some money on a couple horses, if market changes, the condition changes so that you can be agile and shuffle things pretty quickly. And then the last thing we heard is we want visibility and control of what people are working on. Again, you know, this is kind of like the Holy Grail. You probably heard that many for a long time. And it's this notion that if some folks in the organization are maybe working on a task list to manage, let's say, maintenance requests in the SharePoint task list, that's okay. But if Christoph's doing maybe ticketing 20% of his time using task lists, but he's also doing value-added projects, you know, rolling out, going into the cloud with Project Online, rolling out the next version of SharePoint, I want to see both type of work. So I can make decisions. You know, is Christoph over-allocated or Christoph's got free cycle so that maybe I can put him on another mission-critical project, whether he's in IT, whether he's in R&D, whether he's in marketing. So with that, this is the one slide I've got, the marketing slide. You've seen it probably in a couple decks. You're going to see it in all the project deck this week, since I briefed all the speaker on the track, is introducing the new project. This is the value proposition of the new version. First thing I want to mention is you're probably wondering, pardon me, Christoph, how come you didn't call it Project 2013? And again, when we announced the preview of Office, when Steve Ballmer did the disclosure on July 16th in San Francisco, we call it the new Office, the new SharePoint, the new Exchange, the new Link, and the new project. The reason is we're leading with the cloud. In a cloud world, there's no such thing as a version. You don't go logging to Facebook and say, honey or my best friend, what version of Facebook are you running? You expect the latest and greatest. Same thing with Hotmail, same thing with Gmail. So in an online world, there's no such thing as version. And because we're leading with online, we're calling it the new project. Some of you might say Project 2013, that's okay. But that's why the entire suite of Office products, new Office, new Excel, new SharePoint, new Exchange, and new project. There's four pillars that we came up to talk about this new version. And again, when I'm saying project, I mean Project the Desktop, Project Server, Project Online. So think of the umbrella of typically what we call project portfolio management. First thing, it enables you to take action. Again, in this day and age, you want to be agile. You want to get return and value pretty quickly. Doesn't matter if you're in IT and executing on a project. Doesn't matter if you're in R&D, even mean marketing. I got to show visibility to my manager. How's the marketing campaign doing? How am I doing on all the readiness event that I'm doing to train all the partners on this new version? So take action. There's two key value that we summarize here. It helps you get started quickly, and that's both on the desktop and on the server. One of my colleagues, Heather, did a demo right after the keynote, and she showed a little bit of that. I'll show you a little more. Access virtually anywhere, like the name implies, it doesn't matter if I'm on the PC, if I can find my phone, if I'm on a Windows phone, an Android phone, an iPhone, Kindle Fire, I should be able to get stuff done anywhere. Flexible PPM, that's a very important one. I'll give you a little demo, and we'll be doing a lot more demo in the session after this. But it's the notion, when we look at how customers are using our stack, it's not just I use Project Desktop, and suddenly overnight I use the 8-cylinder Project Server. There's a little bit of in-between areas, and maybe we, Microsoft, we can help you go from crawling to walking to running. And I'll show you a little bit of that, on how we made the platform easy to start, because you just started maybe with a task list, but maybe tomorrow you attended some training, you attended a SharePoint conference, you want to do maybe a little demand management, you want to do a little workflow, you want to do a little resource allocation, Suddenly, functionality are coming to your site. We're not forcing you, oh, you got to go to this different site, WAC PWA. So a lot of investment around that. Collaboration, this is all the stuff we did with SharePoint. And, you know, 2010 was already a milestone release in terms of better alignment, leveraging SharePoint for workflow, leveraging SharePoint for BI. But we even took it a step further in this version. One anecdote that I like to tell everyone on why this is a historical release is when we ship in May 2010, it was Office, SharePoint, and Project, and Project Server. Exchange shipped earlier, Link shipped after. This version, Exchange, Link, SharePoint, all the server products, all at the same cadence. Why is this important? Because it enables us, from a scenario perspective, to do a lot of better together scenarios. You probably saw some at the keynote, some of the better Exchange integration for our governance. But I'll show you more. So it's significant, and that's why, you know, improved communications in 2013, we can do presence, whether it's on the desktop or whether it's in the web app. Another thing you can do is discover and share information. A lot of things you saw this morning in the demo where I start typing things, it suggests things, it shows me some of the document in context so I can make decisions. I can be a lot more agile, a lot more efficient on the day-to-day tasks that I need to do in my project management office. And the last bullet, make data-driven decisions. The reason typically you're going to graduate from using a single Microsoft project plan on your desktop to project server on premises or project online is you want to slice and dice. You want to look at not just me and your three friends or your three colleagues. You want to look at, you know, do I have enough DBA in my organizations? Do I have enough PhD with this particular research expertise area to ship this new pharmaceutical drug that we want to put our money on? So you want to look at the data, and there's a lot of BI enhancements that we're delivering with the 2013, again, because we're shipping at the same time as the new Excel, for instance. And last but not least, agility and control. Yes, we still have a great on-premise product, but we made a ton of improvement. And the reason, typically, to stress that point is back in Redmond, the engineering team, from a coding perspective, billing code, debugging, there's only one code branch. It's called Project Server 2013. When we announced RTM 2 weeks ago, Project Server was RTM. Some of it went to MSDN for the developers. Some of it went to TechNet subscribers. Some of it went to volume licensing. And the same product went online. The point is we only ship one product. It just gets packaged in different channels. So the quality you're seeing online, it's the quality you're seeing on-premise. The performance improvement you're seeing online, it's the same thing you can leverage on-premise. The multi-browser you're seeing online, you get that on-premise. The full end-to-end project portfolio management capabilities you're seeing on-premise, you're seeing it online. Total feature parity, because from us, from an engineering perspective, we only have one code branch, we just ship one product. I mean, obviously, we ship server, project professional, and project standard. But nevertheless, from the server perspective, it's one project server that the team just released. Okay, one more slide, and then I promise I will jump to demo. Project Online is actually, let me step back. In the online world, it's about services, and it's beyond that. Typically, it's a suite of services. You don't just wake up and say, I want to manage tasks in the cloud. You say, hey, I want to manage tasks, but I want to do email, and I want to do IM, I want to do conferencing. So give me maybe Link, Exchange, and SharePoint Online. Think of, you know, like a menu. You're getting the appetizer, main dish, and dessert. Maybe you want an open bar, or you want everything else. But typically in the online world, you get this notion where you don't just go with one workload, you go with a suite. Project Online was actually different services that you can purchase when it'll be commercially available. And that's what you're seeing in green. And before I list those, another thing I want to mention is, because people ask me that, why did you call it Microsoft Project Online? And actually it took a while. You know, that's one of those marketing decisions that took a while. And the reason is, Some people say, well, how come you didn't call it Microsoft Project Server or Microsoft Project Server Online or Microsoft Project Portfolio Management Online or Microsoft EPM? And the reason is because 365 was already in market, we already had some services out there. Some of those services were called Microsoft Exchange Online, Microsoft SharePoint Online, Microsoft Link Online. And then the other thing we looked at is we wanted to snap to that, and that's why we call it Microsoft Project Online, because Project is typically a brand that has been around that people recognize. So the point I want to make is people think maybe it's just a desktop online. There is a desktop portion, but this is full-blown project portfolio management, even though it's called Microsoft Project Online. So the three services we're going to offer that you can test since 7.16 when we made the preview of the service available on July 16, Project Online, so think on-premises, what we call the web app that you can access if you install Project on-premise. And this is typically for the team members, folks that need to do timesheets, task updates, more important, maybe for the decision makers, you know, the head of the PMO, the CIO, the head on R&D, that wants to look at, you know, what are all the projects in flight? Do I have all the capacity to deliver? Am I late? Do I need to start worrying about my teams? The next service we're going to offer, Project Pro for Office 365. First question I get is, Christoph, you got a spelling mistake. And it's actually, no, it's not a spelling mistake. Microsoft Project Pro, as it names implies, think of the desktop, Project Professional, except this is a subscription. And the reason we call it Microsoft Project Pro, because today you get Office Pro for Office 365, Visio Pro for Office 365. So we align kind of the name, kind of like what we did with Project Online, to snap to Exchange Online and Link Online. I'll get back to the subscription, but basically, this gives you up to five PCs. I can pull five fingers. When I get the subscription, I can put Project Professional on up to five PCs, and it's always the latest and greatest version. You're saying, hey, Christoph, it's the afternoon, I'm a little tired. Why is this so cool? This is cool because, Christoph, if I want to work in the office in Project Professional, but I need to leave early to go to my kid's soccer game, I need to go do a social whatever, and I back at home and I'm cooking this great French dinner and maybe I've got a PC on the kitchen counter, I don't have to, if I really want Project Professional, I can just stream it to that machine. I get the full-blown experience that I love when I'm in the office. I do whatever that baseline, whatever I need to do, save, close, voila. So I don't have any to do any compromise experience. And then the last one is a combination of the above two. Little minor bullet there is, we're in preview today on the services. So on-premises, release, commercially available. The services, we're still in preview mode. But when it will be commercially available, either you can purchase standalone, meaning typically it's like a team within your org, and you know, the marketing team, they got a budget, they got resources, they got to do that marketing campaign, they just got to swipe their card and start executing on work. Or again, since a lot of you raise your hand, and you've got one of the e-suites offer from E1 to E4, you'll be able to add Project Online or the subscription or both to the existing tenant that you have. Enough talking, let's jump to demos. You clean up the browser. Okay, so what you're looking at is a tenant that I provision. Actually, this one is in the Singapore data center, so definitely not next to Las Vegas. It's got across a little bit of water. And this tenant, it's a little different than the one you have, is because the product is finished, we're already testing what the commercial product would look like. And the reason is, it's different, is I get a little more options, including a reminders that you don't have in the preview, which is kindly reminding me that I need to purchase the service, otherwise the service will expire. To educate everyone, today in 365, if you want to trial 365, you only get a month trial. Basically, it's our job to convince you in 30 days, you know, here's some value in the service. So that's what you're seeing, that in the preview tenant that you'll sign up for, or you should sign up for, it's going to be valid till 60-day after the commercial availability of the service. That's documented on the FAQ. So that's why you're not seeing this. So this homepage, for those of you that have never signed up for 365, this is what we call the tenant admin. Think of a tenant as your organization, your company. And the reason we call it tenant is in our data center, whether it's Singapore or Chicago, wherever it is, we're a multi-tenant, meaning on the same physical or virtual hardware, it's not just going to be company A, but company B, and probably a couple thousand others running on the same hardware. And the reason, obviously, we want to be cost efficient so that we can bring the cost of running the service to a bare minimum. We add a little service that we ask you to pay, and that makes us very competitive to add there in the market. So this is the tenant admin. This is what the admin sees, and typically, you know, the end users is never there. Plus, we should never have access to this page. And I'm not going to go over all the stuff we did in the tenant administration, but in this particular demo, I've turned on all the light in the Christmas tree. I've got the E3, which is the enterprise, and I put project online. People ask me, how do you know that? Or how do I know? Is at the top, the bar right here is all the service I've purchased. So Outlook, that means I'm licensed to use Exchange Online. People is about Link, and I get Newsfeed, SkyDrive, and Sites, which is the standard SharePoint Online. And I'll get back to that. Next question I get is, prove it to me that the Project Online is the new kid on the block in the 365 suite. Another way to look at it is you go to Service Health, and here you get all the workload. I'm getting alerts to purchase. Let me zoom out a little bit. So here's SharePoint Online and all the services, and you see I got Project Online, and by the way, each column is the health of the service. So it's good to see it's doing well. So I purchase it. How do we control licensing and users? Again, I'm just going to give you a glimpse since I've showed you a slide. Here I got a set of demo accounts. But back to connect the dots with what I was showing you is different services out there. So here I put E3, but it's not required. Is you see I've got Project Pro for Office 365, which is a desktop subscription. I got Project Online, think of the web app. And obviously I also have the web apps, which enables me to look at document in context. You saw plenty of demo at the keynote. And obviously Project Server is a SharePoint app, pretty much like on-premise. You need to install SharePoint before you can even put the DVD for a Project Server. So same thing in online. And you can see I can control who gets it, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to give you an in-depth demo of the tenant administration. Again, there's a couple sessions that talk about that. And because this is also fairly similar to the in-market service, there's also a lot of white papers about this. I mean, typically the short story is, you're not going to do that for every user. It's okay if you get a dozen people, but in the real world, you're going to do AD sync with your on-premise Active Directory so that anytime someone joins your company, someone leaves your company, things are automatically, the licenses are freed up or the licenses are automatically assigned. Great. We have a lot of network issues so far. Okay. So where I click next is, again, this is a menu I'm seeing because I'm what we call a tenant admin. But if you're a tenant administrator, you can administer all the services, Exchange, Link, and the one I want to show you is SharePoint. So I'm not going to give you a walkthrough of all the things you can do in SharePoint, but what I want to point is, in this preview of the next release of our service, you've got different site collections. Again, I'm probably preaching to the choir, but here's the new kids on the block. You see I've got a couple site collections with the web app. Actually, one is spinning because it's actually adding the service. And you see also another button here on the ribbon that is the settings or all the things you can manage in your tenant in SharePoint Online. So that's Project Online in Office 365 from an admin perspective. Let's go in and look at the product itself. So there's different ways to look at it. Either you go here, because I've got E3, and we show you all the major, we limit this to 6. I got to go dot, dot, dot projects. Another way to do it in SharePoint 2013 is, that was demo earlier today, is I can like sites. So I can go, for instance, to a set of sites I bookmark, including the web app. People are laughing maybe about my picture. The private joke was we had a project conference back in March, and yes, I did have a mustache, but this time around for Movember, no mustache. So here's the web app. This is the vanilla web app. You know, I haven't branded it. But before I dive in into the demos, I want to show you is, again, I want to walk through the user interface a little bit. Remember I told you we want to help you get started. I'm not going to demo how we help you on the desktop. We did a lot of improvements. But in the web app, here it is. Basically, similar to SharePoint, we've got this notion of carousel, whether it's a site. In this case, it's a special site because it's our project online. So we got a set of tiles that we think would be a common thing you would start as an end user. And probably the first thing is, especially when you provision an online environment, actually it would be the same thing on-premise, you want to put data in. And that's what that first tile is. And I'll be demoing that next. The next thing you probably want to do once you put a little bit of data, you want to start slicing and dicing. What are all the things we're going to be delivering in December? Do we have all the capacity to deliver all those things we need to deliver in December? Are we late? Is there a risk, issues, et cetera, et cetera? The next thing you want to do, you probably want to bring someone in, whether it's someone within your organizations, maybe you want to bring your customer, maybe you want to bring that expert, you know, that graphic designer that's helping you for a marketing campaign that's not part of contoso.com, but still is going to be contributing to a piece of the puzzle or executing on a project. More features. This is all about, you know, we give you a little vanilla user interface. Let's say you want to do portfolio analysis. Let's say you want to do timesheets. Let's say you just want to read up more because, you know, you never use Project Server yet, or maybe you want to do some advanced capabilities, and that's what this tile does. And then the next two are standard SharePoint tiles that you've probably seen if, for those of you that have played with SharePoint 2013 on-premises or have signed up for the service, which is, you know, you can change the look and feel in a couple of clicks. And last but not least, apps. And I'll be talking about all of these. The carousel at the bottom is all about me, the individual. So in this case, I'm a project manager, so I could, if I click here, I will see all the projects that I've created. Approval pending is all the tasks. You know, I've already put all the data to do my demos, and it looks like some of my team members have put in some status update that potentially I need to approve. You can see I've got quite a bit of work. I've got 100 of task assignments, and same thing, I can have my own reports on what I care about in my project management office. So that's the standard user interface. Let me start showing you some of the new cool new features that we did. And to do that, I'm going to leave project the web app, and I'm going to go to a site called Maintenance Requests. Remember I told you that, you know, we got this vision that we should have what we call flexible PPM, which we fully understand that not everyone's going to jump with both feet and going to have the maturity to embrace whatever, agile methodology or Prince 2, or be able to do portfolio analysis, be able to do timesheets. So here, this first scenario is I got a maintenance team. I tried to brand it. I put a little background screen of Halo 4. You know, I would think the maintenance team's kind of gamers. By the way, we released Halo 4 last week. A lot of innovation coming out of Microsoft these days between the Surface, games, the phone. But let's get back to the demo. So I got a site, standard SharePoint site. Obviously, I branded a little bit. And in that site, guess what? The maintenance team, they're using Task to manage maintenance requests, right? Pretty common scenario. And a lot of things you can do in 2013 that Jeff was mentioning. You can do add task in context. So here we'll do SPC 12 task. And, you know, I can pick whatever it's 11, 12. And we're going to do 11, 17. Oops, that would be odd. And potentially I can assign it to Sarah. I'll just do, I'll assign it to my manager, Chris Crane, and voila. So, right, I create a task. The team is working day in, day out in this site. But what's happening in IT or in R&D or in marketing is someone knows there's a lot of teams out there, and maybe Christoph is doing maintenance tasks on one site. Maybe Christoph is participating in this new top secret mission critical project. Wouldn't it be nice to see what Christoph is doing across all those sites? So potentially I can say, hang on, Christoph, you're working, you're 300% over allocated, or maybe not. Maybe Christoph, you only allocated 20%. Maybe you can use the other 80% to put you on this other mission critical projects we want to do. So the team is day in, day out on this site. Here's what the parent Uber site is going to be doing. So let me go back. I'm going to go back to the PMO. In 2013, on-premises online, as soon as you add a service, I don't know if you remember when I was in the tenant admin, there was a button, add a service. So any site collection in SharePoint, let me repeat that, any site collection, you can add a service. It's in the background. Once you add a service to a site collections, you'll get a couple pages for your standard pages to manage your work. And more importantly, you can bring in the work happening in all those sites. So here I went to the web app. I went to what we call the project center. And there's a new button in 2013 called Add SharePoint Sites. I'm going to click there. Automatically, what happened is it recursively, I mean, it doesn't do that live, but it detects every subsite, doesn't matter how deep it is, that has SharePoint task list. And yes, you can have multiple task lists on the same site. And it brings me that list. And here, for instance, I'm going to pick maintenance request. And yes, if I had two different type of task lists, one for critical maintenance request and one for gamers request, whatever, I would get it in the dropdown. So I check maintenance request, and I'm going to click add. As soon as I do that, what's going to happen from there on is that ivory tower, the PMO, is going to have near real-time insight of what that team does. So not only I'm going to get a peek of what they're going to deliver, what are the upcoming milestones, what are the phases they're working on, all the scheduling that you would expect. Let me hit F5. Let's go Amsterdam. This one is in Singapore. So here's the maintenance requests. And yes, I can click there. And basically, it takes me back to the, you know, this is the task list. So the masters is the SharePoint task list. But let me go back. Not only it gives you the scheduling, but more importantly, it brings all the capacity. So if I go into the what we call the resource center and project center, looks like it's a little slow, I can start looking at capacity for all those team members. So let me just bring, actually, I've already selected. I've got a lot of demo, a lot of fictitious resources. I'm just going to click resource availability, which is, again, standard out-of-the-box capabilities. And we already got four resources, and you can see it's people are pretty busy. And just to show it to you, we should see, here we go, Christoph's doing some maintenance requests. He's pretty busy, but he's also booked on other stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Give it to Jan. So just to summarize this first demo, think of a site collection that you have. You add the web app, and suddenly you can potentially recursively look at all the work happening across all the task lists in that site collection. That's the first demo. The next demo is when we talk to customers, when we look at what's happening in the industry is, or how people use SharePoint, is this notion that work can come in different shape or form. Some of the industry terms are what we call demand management. Some of you might have call it change requests. Some people might call it ideation. Let's say I've got a team of researchers, and it's, you know, November 12th, and I'm going to say, dear PhDs, tell me what you think we should be the next product we should build. Go at it. And then, so that's the scenario I'm going to show you next. So I've created a site called Ideation. Where's my site? Here we go. And I call it Ideation, but you're all in the SharePoint world. Think of SharePoint change requests. Maybe you're in IT, and you want to funnel the constant requests you're getting from all your business users, right? Very common scenarios. We actually published a white paper about this last year that was very popular, that one of the SharePoint MCS wrote, right? Constant flow of requests. Here I call it ideation. So I got a site. Again, I'm not very good with creatives, but I pick one of the standard template. And in that SharePoint site, the only thing I did is I added a custom item list, just a standard item list. I've defined a couple fields, and that's it. So let me show you. I'm going to put an item. Oops, let's do in-place editing. Edit. So we'll do SPC 12 requests. Not being very creative today. And you know, I've already defined what is the rule of engagement. You know, I put description there. It could have been whatever I wanted. I say the submitter. Potentially, the reason I put that in is maybe if the ID is selected, I want this going to be the project manager that's going to have the baton and that's going to carry this to the finish line. Let me pick pretty. Yes. Here we go. Auto detects. And here I already put, you know, it's an ideation. I want maybe the people that are requesting the IDs, they got a sense of cost. Here I'll just put whatever, $1,000, but I think it's a great ID, so we'll put actually 10,000. Try to put a million, very large number. Here we go. And maybe I want to capture risk as well. So I've done this ideation contest. In your world, think maybe maybe just regular IT change request. Apologize for that. Christoph had too much coffee. Let me just finish up putting the benefit. 8 million. Here we go. Stop editing. Okay. So I just enter an item on a SharePoint item list. Yes, I can do some crowdsourcing, and I can also have workflow. If more than 5 people give it a 5-star over a period of time, then maybe I want to automate things. So for this demo, I'm going to do manually. I'm just going to select the single ID or the single change request and watch the magic now. I'm going to go to the items ribbon, and I've got a new button called Create Projects. So that's for any subsite in a site collection where the web app or services resides. I get this button, and what it does now is all those attributes, those columns that I capture, I can map that to metadata that the Ivory Tower project online cares about. And that's what you're looking at. So I've done the mapping already, but wait, it gets better. In 2010, we introduced what we call enterprise project type, which is the idea that one request could just be a one-stage approval. But another request, it's really a new IT project, and this should be, I don't know, some waterfall methodology or 5 stages, multiple approval. So I got this notion that I could have apples and oranges, things that are driven by different methodology. So here I'm just going to pick the new product development, and I just have to click on one button. What this does is I'm in that subsite with a list item. It's going to push it to the PMO for further evaluation automatically. And you're probably wondering, Christoph, can I automate this? Absolutely. I just told you this is a standard SharePoint item list. You want to have a workflow that, based on some rating, based on some values, automatically pushes things once a week, once a day, whatever is the business rule. You don't have to click day in and day out. And yes, I can also push, you know, if I had selected multiple of them, everything will get pushed up to the parent site. So I just push that item. Let's go look at the other side of the fence. Think of the, you know, let's say it's ideation in our research and development. So think of the head of R&D, the head of research that say, okay, we've done with this ideation contest. Now we need to make a decision. Where are those great ideas, that initiatives that we need to invest on? And so I go to the project center. And here we go. I got the SPC request, and you're saying, well, Christoph, it looks like another project. It is another project, but this one I've already wired in the back end to a specific process and methodology. So from there on, I know exactly what I need to do. It tells me it's in the review, it tells me it's in the review process and what I need to do next. To illustrate that, I can also scroll down and it shows me where are all the stages for this particular type of work. Again, I'm not saying everything should be five phases methodology. It could have been just a simple one-level approval. Let's say if it's a maintenance request. Or it could be a lot more than five phases with multiple stages. This is just an example, and there's actually a demo on Tuesday, and we'll be doing afterward, that to create this process, one of the cool new innovations in 2013 is it's as simple as using SharePoint Designer. So it's a graphical-driven business process editing capabilities. You don't have to fire up Visual Studio to create this. So to summarize this particular demo, I can capture requests in any item list as long as it's in a site collection that has the service. I show you the out-of-the-box user interface, but obviously you could brand it. You know, you can use InfoPath to make it, you know, a specific form for that ideation contest or whatever you want, or whatever specific form you want to use for let's say, SharePoint IT request that you want your business users to fill in. So that's the second demo about enabling you to capture work in an item list and enabling you to start driving execution, whether you're going to reject this ID or whether, more importantly, further down the stream, you're going to start collaborating, updating tasks, et cetera, et cetera. Not a single line of code, all out of the box in 2013, both on-premises and online. And then another question, so next demo I want to do is people ask, okay, Christoph, project online, do you have full-blown what we call project portfolio capabilities? And absolutely. I told you earlier, we just ship one product. One's a DVD you can install on-prem or an ISO file, and one gets packaged nice and cozy in one of our data centers worldwide. Again, I've got a more end-to-end demo after this, but just to give you a peek, let's say that ideation, all the researchers submitted IDs, and let's say once a quarter, the head of R&D or the head of IT, you know, we're planning for the next year. What are we going to do as IT? What are the big programs? You know, are we going to upgrade our SAP? Are we going to deploy CRM? Are we going to deploy Windows 8? You should deploy Windows 8. Are you going to deploy SharePoint Online, et cetera, et cetera? The big high-level decision, not at the project, but at the program level. And that's what you're seeing here. This is something, a company we acquired back in 2006. In 2010, we blended that user interface with project. And guess what? You get that online. I'm not going to go into the science and the algorithm, but basically this helps you do prioritization on what you should invest based on what you agree you should be investing. So in this case, I got 23 programs that everyone submitted for a total budget of $19 million. Well, let's be realistic. Let's say we get half. And sure enough, we hit it, recalculate, we go back to that data center in Singapore, it's going to crunch some numbers, and it's going to come back, and it's going to say, you know, for if you got only $10 million, you can only do 12, and here's the one that got kicked out. People ask me, how do we figure that out? It's actually no secret. Each project, when we capture the request from that team that I enter in an item list, we start saying, oh, this SPC ID, is that going to help us increase market share? If that's one of the key objectives of the company. Is that going to improve shareholder value? Is that going to improve employee satisfaction? So you start doing evaluation of each of those requests, and that's the score you're seeing here, and that's what the system is calculating for you. And the next question I get is, well, Christoph, how about if, I don't care what the tool does, you know, we need to do, let's say, that knee and elbow pad project for whatever, compliance, whatever, regulatory, or just because it's my pet project, and yes, you can game the system if you want. The point is, whether you're in IT using this to help you prioritize decisions, The beauty of this, it's a transparent, you know, you got traceability on the decision you make. And then you can say, Mr. Business Unit, hey, marketing team, the reason we didn't do this SharePoint app or the reason we didn't deploy the October CU is right now we're going online. You can push back in an elegant way to the business user and say, this is why we didn't do that. Not that we don't care about you, but right now the five big things we're going to do as IT, this is not top five. Maybe we'll do it next year. Maybe we'll never do it. So again, it gives you a way to have that discussion with whoever you're pushing back against and saying, you know, this is why. It's just not aligned with what our CIO, what our shareholders say we should be doing as a team, as a department, or as an organization. Okay, we got plenty of white papers on this. And again, I'll talk a little more in the next session. But basically, you can go from the very lightweight capturing work to more advanced, like I just showed you, which is making decisions on where you should be putting your investments or resources in your organization. The next thing I want to show you is, how about reporting? And yes, in online, you can get reporting. You know, we took that from the very first day as a key specifications. In an online world, we do not give you access to our database. That would be not very good, right? That would be the headline of your favorite newspaper. So in an online world, to be able to do reporting, we've got to give you like a little proxy between those database we've got, in this case in Singapore, and your favorite reporting tool, which is probably Excel. And to do that, the term is called OData. It's an industry standard. We didn't invent it. But OData is everywhere in SharePoint 2013. You can use OData to do reporting on any list. And obviously, you can do OData to report on all the data you're capturing in Project Server. And yes, you can use OData on premises as well. So here I've got a set of folders. You can see that because I'm actually using a special tenant, you can see we got all the language packs already wired. And I'm going to stick to English for this demo. I went to English. We already shipped a set of templates. And for instance, I'm going to pick one I created earlier called the workflow status. And here I'm just bringing this in IE10. Now you see I work for Microsoft, so I love IE10 because I'm running Windows 8. But one thing I forgot to mention is all the demo I've done so far, yes, I could have done on my iPad using Safari. Yes, I could have done it on Chrome, on my Galaxy, blah. And actually, 2 weeks ago, I was goofing off, and I was running Project Online on my Xbox because the new version of Xbox got IE10. So whatever you get, a Kindle Fire, small screen, medium screen, large screen, pick one of the four browsers. You can actually do that on your phone. I've done that. I'm not going to do it today, but you can do all the demo I've done on your phone. Obviously, the UI is a little hard. You know, you need to be very sensitive with your fingers, but you can do it. Try it. The point I'm making, it looks and feels like Excel, but this is the web app. There's no ActiveX. It just runs. I don't need Excel to be showing you workflow status data. And you're probably saying, hey, Christoph, prove it to me that, you know, this is real running in the data center. So I just fire up Excel. I'm just going to change the format, publish back, and you'll see that the data has been updated. Here's a little security in Excel. So you see, typically, you know, it's only the person creating the report or editing the report that be, where's my table format? So let's pick blue. I save this. Everything is saved back in the cloud. In that particular tenant that I'm running, you know, I'm closing Excel. Let's close this. Press F5. And hopefully you'll see the same data in blue. The point is, it's Excel, right? It's everyone's favorite tool. And yes, I've got access here. I'm showing you workflow status. I can do time phase data, timesheets, all of the things you care about that you're capturing data in your project portfolio management platform. There's actually a BI session Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock that's going to go deep dive of all of this. So if you're interested in how we do reporting or how is OData getting better with helping you to be more productive on getting insights quicker, go to the 10 o'clock session on 10 a.m. on the Wednesday morning. So we got reporting, but wait, There is more. Yeah, I've been in the U.S. too long watching those late-night shows when I'm traveling. So, you've seen this morning the news feed. In the old days, think of my site. It's the pivot around me, the individual. You can see I've already built from the cloud up. You know, I thought that was a good tagline this morning. I was during the keynote. Here's my manager, Chris Crane. I was in Australia in September, and one of the things I like is fishing, and look at the big, my big fish, et cetera, et cetera. You get the idea of all the social. You can see that five-star things have captured all the things you would expect. I'm following documents. I'm following people. I've got trends, tags, et cetera. I love the things that were shown in the demo. But what Jeff gave you a peek this morning is my task. So I go to newsfeed, my task. And the idea was, when we went into this new, we started working on this new version, is not only we know that there's different ways to manage work, but more importantly, wouldn't it be nice for every individual, in this case Christoph, to show me in one single UI all the tasks I've been assigned in Project Server, all the tasks I'm working in, all the task list, all the tasks that I've put in Exchange, all the tasks that I've flagged in OneNote, and maybe my personal task. So this is, you know, what we call all my tasks in one place. Couldn't come up with a better name, but this is a pivot around all the things that I've been assigned, whether it's very structured tasks coming from Project Server, whether it's maybe semi-structured like a SharePoint task list, or maybe it's just my personal task. You can see, for instance, here in my personal task, you know, I know I'm going to be away for 6 days, and I definitely need to have a date with my wife to make up for the absence. I also need to take the kids to the swimming pool just to make up for all those things. And, you know, maybe I can add a task, et cetera. Say Bon Jovi, the party, right? So here, that's my personal task. Here, you can see I've got tasks coming from different projects. And again, I put a lot of data. You can see the maintenance request. But I also have tasks coming from structured project, coming from Project Online. All that stuff is there. And you say, well, Christoph, what's so good about this? Here's what's interesting. And then, yes, I can have different views, active, important, upcoming. We generate automatically, when I click on this view, automatically we generate your own timeline. And yes, if you don't care about the blue or you just want to don't care about this, you can customize. This is kind of like your dashboard, the thing you care about. And you're probably saying, Christoph, sure, but I'm not in front of my PC. Well, guess what? This, because in SharePoint 2013, out of the box, syncs with Exchange, and because Exchange has this beautiful thing called Exchange Active Sync, wherever I'm on Windows Phone, an iPhone, doesn't matter what version, a Galaxy, whatever devices you got, I'm not going to demo it, but trust me, well, I'll flag one. I got all my tasks, you know, in Android and iPhone, it appears in different things. In the Windows Phone, you go to your calendar, and I got my to-dos, and I'm just going to strike on my phone the date with my wife. That's it. I've done it here. I didn't do it anywhere. Guess what's going to happen? My phone, I'm going to talk to AT&T, no advertising. AT&T is going to connect to a hub. It's going to go somehow, make it back to the Exchange Online sitting in that Singapore data center. And that task, in a couple seconds, couple minutes, will suddenly be updated. Remember what I was telling you? We want to enable people to work virtually anywhere on any devices. How good does it get? All the tasks following you on any device, or if you're in the office and you got a nice screen, on this beautiful UI. So that's the all the tasks I care about. And another question I get is, can I do timesheets? Yes, I can do timesheets. I'll give you a peek about that in the session afterward. So, you know, it's not just about striking a task, I'm 100% done. Maybe I won't say I'm 20% done. Or more importantly, if you're doing time tracking, you want to say, you know, I did 2 hours on Monday, and I did 3 hours on Tuesday, et cetera, et cetera. So then I can push things back to maybe Project Server, so I can then push it back to, let's say, my ERP, so I can do chargeback or invoicing if you're in the service company. But wait, there is more. Remember I told you there's different services. There's Project Online, that's the one I've been showing you with the web app. There's also a great new service called Project Pro for Office 365. There's different ways to access this service. I'm just going to give you a quick peek because I'm running out of time. I'm not going to demo it. Here I've got a tenant admin. If you're an end user, it's actually right in front of you. But basically here I'm clicking on download software. And because I checked the Project Pro for Office 365 subscription, it enables me to download your beloved favorite scheduling tool on up to 5 PCs. So I'm going to click here. And you can see here, PC1 is actually my home PC. And you want proof? Because my home PC has got Media Center, and Media Center is definitely not the corporate standard at Microsoft. And I did that, you know, the kids were not happy me taking over the PC to do that. But they excused me, so I installed already at a PC at home. And, you know, I can pick and choose here, and I can hit install, and basically, in 2 minutes, depending on the network hasn't been too good, but it's going to stream project. Let's say I was doing on this standard machine that doesn't have project. 2 minutes, I got Microsoft Project Professional up and running, whether it's Project Professional saving an MPP to SkyDrive, whether it's Microsoft Project Professional syncing to a task list, or Project Professional syncing to Project Server. All the scenarios are enabled. Total feature parity, as if I had installed a full MSI. The beauty about Click to Run, I don't need to be administrator of that machine. It comes to me in seconds, and off I go, I can schedule. So think of the scenario is typically, I got an office, maybe I got IT that gave me a laptop with project, but again, maybe I'm in the kitchen, maybe I'm at my mother, maybe I'm at the library, and my best friend, and suddenly I got this urge to plan and schedule. Microsoft is about choice. You want to run the rich desktop in seconds? We give it to you with a subscription on up to 5 PCs. You can also use the web app. We give you choice. Okay. Almost out of time. One more demo. There is more. Actually, a lot more. Actually, there was a nice peek at the keynote. You know, we give you this platform, full end-to-end PPM. But we realize, actually the SharePoint team realized, that this day and age, whether it's online or a particular application like Project Portfolio Management, we can't cover all the scenarios, all the methodologies, all the verticals. So apps is the new way to go. And in 2013, yes, you can buy apps from the outside world, and you get two of our great partners out of Germany, CompanionShot and TPG, that were actually on the keynote, if you look, paid attention. And those are apps you can buy through the SharePoint store. So it's the external store right now in preview. You go there, and then you go project management, and you can see all the apps that relate to the project portfolio management. St. Christopher, there's only 7. Hopefully, there'll be hundreds, thousands, as we start on this journey. So that's external apps that I can put in. And again, think of an app that maybe help you do the stage gate methodology, and you know, you don't want to start from scratch. In those cases, those two company built my milestone trend analysis. It looks like it's pretty big in Europe. But how about if I get my own app? And that's what I'm going to show you. Yes, you can mix and match. It's not just about external app, but maybe within IT, I got a couple developers, and I say, the way I manage project is using a task board. And that's what we got here. We got a little task called Project Task Board. I'm not going to click on it. I'm going to show you a site. So I put this app, and I got another team in my organization. Here we go, my Agile team. And this team, they just love Agile. And the way they manage things, they use this app. So I'm going to start this app called the Project Task Board. Basically, it's an intern that did that in a couple of weeks back in Redmond this summer. And I apologize, the pictures from LinkedIn come. But basically, here I got a couple of resources, and I can start doing like its name implies. I can say Sarah has done the scope, and Christoph still needs to work on the analysis or post-implementation. Pradeep will work on documentation. You get the idea. And guess where all this data, when I'm shuffling things around, is being stored? Let me help you. It's a SharePoint task list. So if I show you the task list, because maybe I want to go to the task list, all the data is being stored here. Let me take it a step further. Remember I showed you that the PMO could take a peek into every team that's using a task list? So we've closed the loop. That team can be using Agile on this task board app to do stuff, but the PMO can also see what they're doing. We're not forcing you one way or another. We're giving you flexibility. And that's just an illustration. Thanks to a rich extensibility, potentially you can really narrow down and give value internally if you're a partner or your customers by building rich app. We got 4 minutes left. And before I wrap up, I do have an important slide that I want to cover. I'll let you watch this. Basically, we got a lot of documentation to help you get started. We got white papers, and then click to run, I talk. This is what it would look like if I had launched it. But one more thing I forgot to mention about the click to run, which is the subscription. The beauty about it is you always get the latest and greatest. You don't have to worry about reading on TechNet, what is the service pack, what is the community update. Every time I fire up WinProj on my PC on my kitchen counter when I'm cooking my dish, it will be the latest and greatest of Microsoft Project Professional, whether I do it at work on any of those PCs. So always the latest and greatest. So I build these slides on what we call frequently asked questions. 8 bullets. What have I heard telling the online story? First thing is, let's be very clear. Project Online gives you full project portfolio management in the cloud. I think it's a game changer. I think it's a historical moment. Yes, there are SaaS alternatives today, but the scale at which we're going at, worldwide, with all the capabilities we get, it is a game changer in our business. The next bullet, people ask me, I go online, am I going to be on an island? Because I've got all those on-premises applications. And absolutely, you can connect your online PMO, in this case, to your favorite ERP, favorite ticketing, your favorite CRM. And we're going to come up with a white paper that shows you how you can either push data online or bring data online, depending on what you want to do, what are the different scenarios. The next thing that we're going to be documenting, we're going to be some folks from the Microsoft Consulting are working on a couple of white papers. How do I go from on-prem to online? And there might be different starting points. Some of you might be on Project Server 2007. Some of you might be on Project Server 2010. Some of you just might have a bunch of MPP lying around. So we're going to describe the different scenarios on how to go from on-premise to online. The next thing is, in an online world, I give you a peek to do reporting, you use OData. We don't give you direct database access. And to build an app like the task board I just showed you that one of our interns did, you use CSUM. There are sessions on those two topics, one tomorrow on extensibility, and as I said, there's a BI session on Wednesday morning. The next thing is, let's be very clear, the preview all the tenants for all of you that have signed up. And by the way, if you're looking for the link, you go to microsoft.com/project, then there's a preview and you'll see a little green button, try it. You click there and you can create the tenant and do the exact same demo I did. So preview is temporary, meaning at the end of the day, when we're 60 days post GA, you're going to start getting email, you know, we're going to take the service down. Everything's going to be thrown away. So definitely play with it. But at the end of the day, we're going to reprovision all the hardware so we can put the commercial service on all our data center. And I put the link, you know, by the way, you can download all the slides, and I put all the links that documents that black and white. Office 365 is an evergreen service. I cannot stress this, you know, this is historical. The pace of innovation is a game changer. Why? Because we're learning. If someone's having an issue, a bug, there might be a very good chance that it's not just you, there might be 1,000 customers. If this new feature is not working, or actually people loving it, guess what? We've got telemetry, we're going to learn. And we're going to innovate based on those learnings. So it's not going to be, we're going to turn away for another 3 years and you're not going to see another version of project. No. In 365, it's monthly innovation. Jeff alluded to that this morning. And then last but not least, if you get questions, we do have forums and wikis so you can ask questions free of charge. Never mind, I've got one more bullet, which is very important. You probably have heard this morning about Azure VM, or Infrastructure as a Service. And yes, it will be another option to deploy Project Server. And again, we're going to have a white paper explaining that. I'm not going to go into the pros and cons, but think of this. Actually, there's a couple slides I put in the appendix that explains, you know, traditionally we're on premises, then we had partner-hosted solutions, and now we're introducing software as a service, which is what 365 is, and also Azure VM. The only catch is in Azure VM, while we're giving you storage, CPU, and RAM in the cloud, you still have to manage those VMs. You still have to patch Windows. You got to install Project. You got to install SharePoint. So it's definitely you got to think hard before you make the jump. And I put this little green bullet. Yes, it's a journey. We're learning a ton. I already mentioned quite a few white papers that are going to be out when we're when the service is commercially available. If there's anything else that's missing, I put my names, my email, everything, my Twitter. Send me the requests because we're definitely looking for feedback. Okay, almost a little over time. Hang in there. I'm almost done. I listed all the sessions. We got a session right after that, and we got a lot more tomorrow, Wednesday, on Thursday. Actually, there's two customer sessions that also are worthy. There's Revlon that's going to talk on how they've been on this journey on 2013, and they've been on the technical adoption program. And there's one from Merck. So two different, you know, consumer, pharmaceutical, giving feedback on Project Server. And then we'll at the booth, we'll give away swags. I've got USB keys if you want. And we'll be asked the experts on Wednesday if you get questions. Just to wrap up, try it. It's free. It only takes 10 minutes to sign up for online. Second thing is ready yourself. We RTM the on-premises. We've got a ton of content, and we're not going to stop there. So now is the time to see what can online do, what can Project Server do in my businesses, what value can it bring that I couldn't do today in 2010 or in 2007. And last but not least, spread the love. Tell your manager that didn't make it to SPC. If you're a partner, tell your customers. I don't want to hear anyone going over a SaaS alternative for PPM. We do think we've got a strong offer, so definitely look at our offer before you go with a competitor that might be a one-trick pony. Us, it's about the better together with Exchange, Link, SharePoint, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you very much. Fill in your eval, and have a great event.